您现在听到的是精简版的 Roundtable 节目，想收听并下载一小时完整节目，可以打开网站 CRIEZFM.com 点击 Roundtable。 Podcast 用户可以搜索圆桌会议。 Student leaders and party members should sit in the front rows during the final exams. This is a new rule issued by North China University of Water Resources and Electric Power, which aims to prevent cheating in exams. 华北水利水电大学在考试季规定，为了严肃考风考纪，学生干部和党员考试时坐前两排。Well, do you think the rule makes sense?
Well, according to the university, this has been tried before by one of the departments, and it turns out to be effective. So this is according to the university, and then they're trying to, now they're applying this to the whole university when it comes to examination. So the intention here is that the good students, those are the ones that are eligible to become party members and also student leaders. And if you let them sit in the front, first of all, I suppose role model kind of thinking that they would have a good effect on those who are sitting behind them. And also, these are the super good students who do well in examination. And when you put them in a special little area, and I suppose the ones that are looking for, the cheaters that are looking for right answers will not have the right answers they will not get the right answers to copy from, right?
This makes no sense to me. I'm just looking at some of the reasoning behind this that the school is given. And so the student leaders and party members are usually top scorers, right? So, well, wait a second. They're usually but not always the top scorers. So according to your logic, shouldn't we just put the top scorers at the front of the class? I mean, whoever has the best grades, the best scores on previous exams during the class, put them at the front, you know, if they're ahead in their class or whatever, put them in the front at the beginning of a new semester or something. And then they sit in the front and are singled out so they will behave. So what you're telling me, then, that student leaders and party members cheat, right? So we're going to put them in the front to make sure they don't cheat, right? Because they're in their front and they will behave. And those who sit in the back can't crib from the good students, no, but they can crib from themselves, and it'll make it easier for them to crib at the same time. You know, bring a crib sheet, you know, in many cases, you know, write the answers on their thigh or something like that. And so I just don't understand this whatsoever. In fact, what you want to do is if we suspect certain students of cheating, put them in the front so that they can't cheat, and put the top scorers, the ones who usually perform well, the ones that we're pretty sure aren't going to be cheating, in the back, because we don't have to worry about them.
Yeah, I suppose there's a difference between Chinese thinking and John's thinking. So
Chinese thinking versus John's thinking.
Yeah, yeah, right. I think it sums it
up. The
whole pretty
country
well.
Is against me.
That's not the case. We love you, John. And it's just that I suppose it's just sort of the role model effect that I think maybe we're putting all too much emphasis on, that these better students are supposed to set good examples.
And I'm sure you've had the experience of, I'm maybe not a student leader, but like the teacher's pet, who is very favored by the teacher in all the way from primary up into university, but it's just not a very nice person nor a very good role model. And so I have to wonder to what degree, I mean, just because you're a student leader, just because you're a party member, doesn't mean you're someone we should be learning from.
And actually, you're right. And I would disagree with the point that university is making, that student leaders and party members are usually the top scorers, because a lot of the times they're not.
and
some of them, because they take up, because, you know, organizing student activities takes up too much of their time, that they're, a lot of the times their scores are really bad. And the only...
But they don't cheat.
That's hard to say. Our monitor in a head student, like... a student union leader did cheat in exam.
Well, there you go. So it's also possible for them to cheat as well. And so I just think that, I mean, yes, of course, cheating is a big problem. It's a big, big problem, and we can talk about that in a second. Mm. But I think that the measures that we're looking at here do not seem to have any logic or reason behind them.
Mm, yeah. But I do think it's the easiest solution.
Laziest as well.
Yes, that the teachers come up with.
Yeah, but usually the easiest is not the best.
It's not. Usually it's not.
Yeah.
But I do think that here cheating does seem to be quite a big problem. Otherwise, why would the teachers go to such great lengths to try to curb cheating?
Yeah.
And there's this online survey which... asked 160 students, and 60% of them admitted that they cheated in exams, and 14% said that they do it frequently, and only 27% said that they never do it. Mm-hmm. And also, 90% of those being surveyed said that after entering college, cheating in exams suddenly becomes super common. So actually, when I try to recall my own experience, I think cheating was pretty common in high school already, but the major examinations have very strict supervision, and I don't think it's that common to cheat in those examinations, but the cheating mentality starts
it's
growing.
I've always been amazed at how strong the cheating culture is here in the Chinese educational system. I've had the, I wouldn't say pleasure, I've had the experience of teaching at different levels, at different periods of time here in China, mostly inside the public education system. But even as an English teacher to adults, this was also very common. You could not leave the room during the mid or final exams, and this is for adults, because more than likely they were going to cheat. And half the time, even when I was in the room, somehow everyone ends up getting, you know, almost perfect scores. So it's very, very, very suspicious. But like I said, I mean, like, even at a primary school level, I observe that it's very common for students, even at that level, to cheat on very, very basic things. I mean, like, you know, you for example, as a teacher, I would, you know, single out a student and say, you know, try, you know, say this, and they wouldn't know how to say it. Like, how do you say that, right? And so that's the thing. I mean, even then, it's this sense of, well, if I don't know the answer, I can depend upon my classmates to give me the correct answer, when rather it should be between the student and the teacher.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, John, that the mentality starts from a very early age. The mentality that somehow cheating is okay and not such a big deal. And I have a very, very sad story of my own to share with you. I did cheat before, and my very painful lesson was when I was in, I think, grade 5. And I did it in a math exam. Actually, I was one of the good students, but somehow I was...
You would be.
No, I was just drawn into a whole gang of cheaters, and so I said, why don't I get some easy answers myself? And then the cheater found out and flunked my test.
Ooh.
I got a big zero there, and I had to take the test paper back to get a signature from my dad.
Ooh, that's embarrassing.
And my parents, despite their usual, you know, really stern attitude with me, they didn't say anything. But then I ended up crying, like, for the whole night. And this is a lesson that I will remember forever. And after that, I wouldn't say that I have never cheated, but I've never, you know, actively participated in sort answers in an exam.
I always knew Xiaohua was a bit of a goody two-shoes.
No! Like, maybe, but I thank that lesson, because hadn't I been caught, maybe I would become, you know, very comfortable with cheating in my later life.
I think the fact that your parents didn't say anything and that you still cried, I think, says that you probably would not have continued cheating.
Okay.
Yeah,
too ashamed.
Or what? I think what would have happened. You would have continued cheating, and then the burden, the shame, and the guilt would have been so heavy that at one point you're having dinner with your parents and you just start burst out into tears, and they have no idea what's going on. You're like, oh, I'm such a bad person, and then you stop cheating.
Okay. It was too dramatic.
Well, I think that's what would have happened.
Maybe.
So have you guys never cheated then?
I helped people.
Yeah,
that's cheating as well.
Yeah,
well,
that's cheating.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, cheating, the way that I see it, is taking someone else's correct answers and then passing them off as your own, mm-hmm. without actually doing the work, without actually preparing for the exam or doing your homework or anything like that. Allowing someone else to copy your paper is not cheating. It is enabling. It is enabling people. And it should be frowned upon as well, but it's not as big of an offense, you might say, as copying someone else's answers or someone else's homework. I'm trying to remember. I think I might have, like, once or twice for, like, one answer or two answers on, like, a test, maybe once or twice in middle school, but nothing like a really, really big deal for it to, you know, burn it into my memory.
Yeah, and also I think because somehow people tend to think that right now in Chinese colleges, a lot of people cheat. And I think that on a large extent has to do with the university's policy, because I know that in some universities, in my university, university I know, if you're caught cheating, you are expelled, you know,
right.
And there's no second chance.
Right.
And so that's not a, cheating is not a big problem in my university. Maybe it's not the same case in other Chinese universities.
Well, I think in general there is this, I think from this sort of attitude from the teachers that they sometimes help to cover you, at least not suspend you. And there is a tolerance towards cheating. And I think when the students go into the examination room having that in mind, I don't really think the punishment is all that of a deterrence for them a lot of the times. And
well, I mean,
and another type of cheating, like what I've noticed that for some Chinese students that they want to go to graduate school, let's say overseas, their teachers, of course, upon request, sometimes even help them to make their grade sheet look better. And I think that's a form of cheating,
almost
too.
Definitely.
And that has totally tarnished the reputation of us Chinese students who go study overseas and get good grades and stuff like that. And I think, you know, there is this culture that's among the students and more or less shared and understood by the teachers and being tolerated that sort of fostered even worse situation that we see right
well,
now.
Well, I think there is a general cultural phenomenon where as long as you get results, it doesn't really matter how you got there. And I think in part, not completely, but in part, it is to do with the examination system and how as even from a young child, not so much anymore because of recent reforms, but even from first grade, you know, you have exams, multiple choice exams. There's a right answer, there's a wrong answer, and as long as you get the right answer, it doesn't really matter how you got there. Your studying process, the way that you actually learn, the way you're taught, it really doesn't matter as long as you get a good score on the exam. And so in that sense, I think that's one of the problems is, you know, yeah, I mean, I can lie in my resume. I can get someone else to do my application letter or my letter of intent, and I can pay someone to do that. And as long as I get into the university, it really doesn't matter. Things are changing. Number one, because a lot of high schools and universities are learning that they can't necessarily trust the application materials they get from Chinese students. I have a few friends. They work for a company. One of them founded it. One of them works there at a company that verifies applicants from China.
Oh.
It's mostly for high schools, in fact, for boarding schools, but they're now working with more and more universities to do exactly the same thing. And so there is, you know, very wide knowledge that if you're getting an application from a Chinese person, there's a high likelihood that it might be falsified to a certain extent.
Exactly. And this is in no way good for future students who want to study abroad. And also, I just wonder, I do agree with what John said about, you know, being too result-oriented, that as long as you get good grades, then it's okay. But that's a very naive mode of thinking. And I'm very surprised that, John, you noticed that in these English classes for adults, they still tend to think like that. Because in those cases, you know, scores almost don't matter for them because they're not there to get A's.
Well,
they're there to learn English, and you know.
It's I think it's also a matter of faith, because in the end, I mean, it didn't really matter how well they did on their quote unquote final exam.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, they were going to go on to the next level, right? It really didn't mean because
right.
It was a private English education institution, so I mean, like we didn't really have like strict academic guidelines or anything like that. So I mean, even if they got a complete failure on the exam, this happened once or twice. They would just go complain to some of the Chinese staff. Oh, why can't I go on to the next level, and then they just put them into the next level anyway. And so I think in a certain sense, it's just about face, getting face from the teacher, getting face from the other students in terms of exam scores. But also, I mean, it's very difficult to think outside of yourself. If you're so used to thinking in a certain way, I mean, result-oriented, doing well in exams, then why would you think otherwise?
Mm. And I think that line of thinking doesn't work outside of China. And when you go out of China, and then sometimes some students still hold a similar kind of understanding of cheating, and they get themselves in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in my university in the UK, there was almost, I doubt there was anybody cheating, because first of all, the punishment is severe, and it will follow you forever. When you get jobs, and if you have like cheating in your history, then that's a terrible mark in your credit. It will just... It's just when you balance the advantage and disadvantage of it, of the outcome, it just seems logical to not cheat and study, and even if you don't get a great mark.
Well, but also, I mean, you know, especially when we look at university, and even in high school to a certain degree, plagiarism becomes a big, big problem.
Mm.
And it's become a big enough problem even in U.S. universities where software companies have come up with software where students can submit their papers and their essays online through this system, and it will go through and see if it's plagiarized. I'm not sure exactly how they do it, but this is a product that some software companies are selling to universities because it is a big enough worry. It is a big enough problem in the U.S. So to say that it's only in China is not completely true. I just think that that really is just going to be different to a certain degree.
Yeah. Also, let me read out a few listeners' comments, because I asked whether people have cheated in exams, and it seems people have. And for example, Julia says, I did cheat in exams when I was not confident with some subjects, but I hated the feeling when I cheated, actually. That was my feeling as well, I think. You know, just totally crappy feeling that
feels,
you're
feels,
very
well,
bad person.
Well, I think it's the it shows the power of conditioning. I mean, like you feel like a bad person. You feel dirty if you kind of go against like the rules that you've been taught as a child. You know,
and also maybe in part that, but also you're so afraid of being caught. A lot of it is fear of being caught,
right, right,
and what's going to happen to you after that. For example, Koei says, 作弊对心脏不好。大二的时候考电工学考试的时候尝试作弊，结果太紧张了，总是看老师，都被老师给盯上了，果断放弃作弊。所以心脏不好的人还是别作弊了。Also, Koei says, she remembers there was a girl who was found out cheating, and then her B bachelor's degree got cancelled.
Yeah.
So she also got graduation certificate, not her degree. So
that was it.
And Draco commented on the, you know, party members and student leaders going first theory. He says there's a Chinese saying, John, it's called Communist Party members and leaders lead the charge in front of the trouble. So 有困难党员干部先上, and that describes the situation here.
It does indeed describe the situation.
Yeah.